5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Yeah, big announcement yesterday. We are, of course, Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 FM and 1310 KFKA. In the AM, think of it like this. The AM is going to be the larger signal, so it's going to, you're going to hear us throughout Northern Colorado. The FM is going to be primarily the Greeley and surrounding communities. But the cool thing is you can listen to us on your TuneIn app, which is free, right? Some people say it's not. I've never paid a dime for TuneIn, Colfax. Never a dime.
There's some ads, but whatever.
Yeah, you can pay for like the non-ads and stuff and then the whatever the extreme thing is. But yeah, you can listen to us on TuneIn for free.
It's free.
So you can listen to that from your grandma's house in Nantucket if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You could go to China for some weird, terrible reason, and listen to us there, if you'd like.
Well, certainly South Korea.
Yeah, certainly South Korea.
Which has happened before.
Yeah, which has happened, yes. We've had a text from there a few times. So you can listen to us all over the world. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Are you happy about the Will Barton re-signing with the Nuggets, a two-year deal? Texter Eastside Chris says, who's the backup for Joker if he unfortunately has an injury? That's the thing, gang. They are not really going to get a center. I mean, Bol Bol is listed as the center. You don't have another center on this roster. Denver's essentially going to do what a lot of teams do, and that's just play it small with the power forward kind of guy. You know, so right now, the way it looks, you remove Paul Millsap, and it's going to be, you know, Jeff Green, Jamichael Green, Green Squared, one of those guys will come in and be the backup. So, because Aaron Gordon's going to start at power forward. The starting lineup looks like this game one. Just go ahead and write this down because this is what it's going to be. It's going to be Monte Morris at the point guard because Jamal Murray's out. It's going to be Will Barton at number two. It's going to be Michael Porter Jr. at three. I'm curious to see that really try to take hold this year. Those two, you know, when Porter was out, Barton was going, then Barton gets hurt. So it'll be nice to see hopefully a full season of that. Then at the four, it's going to be Aaron Gordon at the power forward spot. At the center spot, it'll be Nikola Jokic. Backups, again, without Murray, you're going to see Facundo Campazzo as the backup. At the point guard spot, Austin Rivers will be off the bench at two. PJ Dozier will be off the bench at three. Jamichael Green will be off the bench at four. And then either Jeff Green or you slide Jamichael Green down to center, whatever. But it's going to be the Greens that you see as far as backup. I mean, they actually have Paul Millsap still in the mix. He's out. But Jeff Green listed as the backup center. And then Zeke Nagy. So they're not going to go into the season other than a Bol Bol with a true backup center. They're going to go small. That's kind of the idea behind this at this point in time. So happy with the moves. They're running it back, essentially. You know, re-signing Will Barton, re-signing Jamichael Green to a two-year, $17 million deal. I was kind of shocked they got him back. He has a player option on the second year. Then about an hour after that, they picked up veteran free agent Jeff Green. That deal's 2 years, $10 million, according to ESPN. 11th team in 14 seasons. He's one of those journeymen, and you see that a lot in the NBA. And then, of course, we wanted to see if the Nuggets were going to try to re-sign JaVale McGee. I would have liked to see, there's your backup center, but he agreed to a one-year deal with Phoenix on Thursday, according to Yahoo. He wanted an expanded role, and it wasn't happening in Denver. Malone didn't want to play JaVale McGee either. In fact, I thought he played fairly well in that last game of the playoffs that the Nuggets were in when they were eliminated by Phoenix. I thought he was all right. So they got an expensive flyer on Jeff Green. He averaged 11 points per game, though. He's averaging more than JaVale McGee at this point in time. But this is where they are. They got a really interesting front court rotation now, where Jamichael Green, Zeke Nagy can kind of move around, power forward, small forward, center position. No backup center. Mason Plumlee was that backup center 2 years ago, which was kind of a stabilizing force for Denver. You thought McGee might be, but they're going to use a versatile lineup and try to, you know, that's going to be an interesting matchup when they go up against bigger teams Although Milwaukee, Phoenix and Milwaukee, they didn't really have the traditional backup centers as far as reaching the finals. So maybe it can be done. A little bit of a concern there. First Advantage text line, 978-978-1301. Bones, I don't know that he's in that lineup right off the bat, is he? I think he's going to be more of, you know, third off the bench in some position there. So, I mean, is he going to, because you signed Austin Rivers because you believe that you're kind of taping this thing together. I don't know that right off the bat you're going to see him. You might see him into the rotation. Harrison thought maybe Malone tries to play these guys, but maybe not. Malone doesn't trust young players. So I would imagine that you see Highland, you know, maybe a month in, you get to see him a little bit more. But to me, as far as the rotation goes, and Marcus Howard, where's Marcus Howard fit into this? And Shaq Harrison, who you like defensively, does he fit into this? So a bit of a head scratcher. I thought, you know, with Bones, he can play guard, he can play two, he can play three. And that's another reason I thought maybe Denver was going to be okay moving on from Will Barton, if this guy can make that leap quickly. But, you know, odds are if you pick much outside of the top 10, hell, much outside of the top 7, these guys don't make a big impact early on unless they just get in and shock the world. So my guess right now, and again, maybe Summer League shows us something different. Maybe he goes in there and he's the MVP of Summer League. And then the Nuggets are like, wow, you know, we can move him up in the rotation. But suddenly you're kind of guarded it. You're crowded at guard. And then when Jamal Murray comes back, even more so. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. And again, he's listed as he can play point guard, he can play shooting guard. In this day and age, even the shooting guards that are much more than like 6'1", can still play three if they absolutely need to. An interesting situation is brewing in Indianapolis. Nick Foles is pretty good buddies with Frank Reich. He's looking at maybe there's a reunion there. So here's the deal. We all know that that Carson Wentz went down that year. The Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz was having a phenomenal year in 2017. He goes down. Nick Foles takes over. He's having a storybook-type finish to the season. He leads the Eagles all the way to the Super Bowl, and they upset the New England Patriots. And it's kind of weird because it was like, this is Carson Wentz's team, but Nick Foles gets the Super Bowl honor there. And then since then, Foles has continued to be a journeyman quarterback. He's, what is he, third string with the Bears now? Because you have Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, who they drafted. So he's probably going to not, I mean, do they carry three quarterbacks? Anyway, Carson Wentz goes down. He's out several weeks for the Colts. He'll miss the first four games or so. Now the situation is, could you possibly bring Nick Foles in to be the guy for 4 or 5 weeks, and then you have this weird quarterback controversy that started back in Philly? Nick Foles kind of talked about his relationship with Frank Reich and what that would look like.
Listen, Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time. He understands me as a player. He understands me as a person. But, you know, right, I haven't had any talks with him. I don't know. I'm a Chicago Bear right now. But I think if he knows me. He understands. I mean, y'all watched the 2017 season in the playoffs where he changed the offense and built it around me, and y'all saw what happened. So he understood my mentality as a player, and he was able to build it around me and put me in a successful position and my teammates. But that being said, they have Carson, and Carson and I have a lot of history. I have a lot of respect for Carson. He's a tremendous player. He's going through adversity once again, but he'll bounce back. And you know what? He might miss a few games, but I know he'll be back out there. But we haven't had any talks, so right now I'm a Chicago Bear, and I'm going to keep slinging it with these third stringers, and we're going to dice them up.
Slinging it with the third stringers. I mean, Nick Foles is just, he's a survivor. He's one of those quarterbacks that just survives. Does he talk more about where he is at this point in his career too a little bit? Let's just hear that other clip. It's interesting.
There was a couple opportunities that came to be this offseason with a couple teams, but it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time or the situation with what was going on in my life. It's like I said, you don't just want to go somewhere to go somewhere. Like, you want to go somewhere where you know the people somewhat, or you know someone who knows the people that can vouch for the people. so you can succeed. Listen, I'm 32. I feel great. The version of me right now is much better than the version that played in the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that. And I'm confident in that. So put that through your mind. I know that. I know what this game's about. You have to have the whole package as a team. Like, you have to have everyone in there. You have top down has to be great. If it's not great, you're going to be mediocre. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And unfortunately, when you're a quarterback, you got to go through a lot of the, you know, baloney. But that's part of it. That's why we play this position. That's why we grow. Because at the end of the day, there might be some kid that's watching this press conference and they say, Nick Foles is a three quarterback, and he's going out there, and his mentality is to dice up that defense and help his teammates. And that's what I will continue to do till I lace up the cleats for the last time.
Whoa! A little spicy there. A little confident there, maybe. He's trying to build that resume up for Reich to go, you know what, that's what I need. Better than you were in the Super Bowl? You're a third-string quarterback behind a backup quarterback and a rookie. Behind a rookie and a backup quarterback. Andy Dalton is now a backup-caliber quarterback. He's getting the start right now maybe. They'll probably announce that Justin Fields is the guy. Nick Foles, a little spicy there. What did you put that in your brain? I love that. We got to save that clip, man. Hey, I'm better now than I was in the Super Bowl like 4 years ago, even though I'm a backup to like 37 guys. But put that in your brain for a minute. Do you think the Colts would really invite this and bring this thing back? The Carson Wentz, Nick Foles drama all over again? Bring Foles back, man. I think it's interesting. Didn't you kind of read between the lines? He was selling himself on the potential to be traded out of there so he could be with the Colts. He's not going to take a starting job in Chicago. It's either going to be Andy Dalton or Justin Fields. I mean, Andy Dalton's going to have to play pretty damn well for the Bears just to not say, you know what, let's just throw a rookie out there and see what happens. We're going to talk. You say Chris says he thinks he's going to start. Who's he going to start for? Talking about Bones, Highland, who's he going to start for? You're not. No. Is this real? The Portland Trailblazers just shared their summer league team, their summer league roster. And I can't think that this is real. Am I seeing? Is it? I got a Fareed's on there. Emmanuel Moody. Surely this is a. Is this a joke of old of Christmas past? I'm serious right now. Seriously, dude. Portland Trailblazers on their Twitter shared this out and said, "Our 2021 summer Blazers." Am I missing the inside joke? Kenneth Fareed is on there. Michael Beasley's on there, who we know has had some off the court issues. Emmanuel Mudiay is on there. Fareed's like in his 10th year or whatever. I mean, am I missing something? Is this some kind of inside joke that I'm not a part of? That is the official Portland Trailblazers Twitter account. I'm going to do some dissecting here, but I got that a note from a listener that's like, what the hell is this? And I don't know. I was just telling my wife the other day, she's like, whatever happened to Manimal? Which is a strange question for my wife just to ask about Kenneth Fareed, a random nugget in Nuggets Christmas past. And I'm like, you know, I don't even think he's in the league anymore. And now he's going to be on a summer league, which is typically reserved for younger players to try to prove themselves. 19 minutes after the hour. Let's talk Rockies coming up next with Drew Kreisman. How the trades that weren't all went down last week. We'll talk to Drew next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
No Code Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state, and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. It's Top Text Tuesday. Great to have you guys rocking and rolling. Getting involved. Dixon's firing back at Eastside Chris. Brady, I have a big meeting coming up later this afternoon. And I want to announce my presence with authority. So if you don't mind, I'm going to come by the studio a little after 2 o'clock and hope to see you walk out of the studio so I can copy your gait. Is that cool with you? It was a little creepy, Eastside Chris. Dixon says, I'd be cool with the Nuggets trading Bull for a bag of chips. Feels like he's kind of a sideshow type player. And I don't think his game really translates to extended minutes. Man, it would have been cool if that would have worked, though. Just didn't quite work out. And maybe someday it will. Somewhere else, probably. I think this summer league thing is legit. This is weird, man. The Portland Trailblazers have guys that are 97 years old on there. It's nuts. All right, Drew Kreisman joining us now, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. Drew, my friend, always great to catch up with you. I'm just blown away by stuff I see on Twitter. I can never tell if it's real or fake or what have you.
Same. Same.
I mean, I know we're talking baseball, but I'm looking at the Portland Trailblazers sharing their summer league teams, and you got Michael Beasley on there, you got Moutier, you got Kenneth Fareed. These guys are like 87 years old, and they're on the summer league, and I'm like, this is fake. Someone's trying to mess with me, but it looks legit.
I know, right? I know. Every once in a while, a trade will go down in baseball, and I'll be like, that guy's still playing in Major League Baseball? No.
I know.
You know.
They slip through the cracks sometimes. It does happen. All right, Drew. Talk to us about the trades that weren't last week. Everybody kind of expecting Trevor Story, and then as it kind of progressed, we thought maybe it's not going to happen, and then it didn't happen. So first off, how did Trevor feel about this, and then what happens next? We just lost you, man. Okay. Right when you were answering, so if you can rewind for us. Talk to us about trade. I knew you were going to do that. I could have predicted it.
Yep.
All right. So how was Trevor after the trade that wasn't?
Not happy, and I think that's been pretty well reported. You know, and a lot of that really just comes down to expectations. And it's not even that coming into the year, Trevor was like, man, I really hope I get traded. But I think he, like all the rest of us, could see the writing was on the wall. He can read, you know, newspapers and listen to my podcast if he wants to, though I don't think he does that. But, you know, he knows how to get information as well. And so I think he had just kind of come to terms with the fact that he was going to get traded. And like anybody, you know, once you've come to terms with whatever your new reality is, you start kind of dreaming on it and going, you know, actually, going and playing for a contender for the rest of the year would be great. It's been a rough season here. There's been a lot of drama. It might be nice to just kind of get away from this, see what I can do. He's had a rough season, you know, and so I can totally get him wanting to just, you know, kind of flush it and start over new, and that he doesn't really get an opportunity to do that, that he's stuck in a place playing games where they're not going to the postseason. And the other part of this that I don't think is getting talked about too much is that Trevor really hasn't been having a good season. So now, like, he's an impending free agent, and of course everyone's been assuming he's going to get this big giant contract, but he really needs to play well down the stretch in a league that's not handing out those kinds of contracts nearly as often as they used to. And it's right before what is expected to be a pretty heated labor negotiations between the players union and the owners and all that with the CBA. I don't think they're going to start next baseball season on time. So that's a heck of an entire of an environment for Trevor Story to be going into and trying to build his, you know, his next big contract. So I get why he's frustrated and angry and upset. And if I was in his position, I probably would be too. I think a little bit too much has been made out of, like, he's upset because he thinks the Rockies are a joke and he wants to get out of here as soon as possible. Like, it's not like that. Trevor doesn't think that way. Not that kind of dude. He has all the respect in the world for his teammates. But, yeah, he was excited about the possibility of going somewhere and playing some competitive baseball and maybe building up that resume, maybe under the bright lights of New York City or, you know, for a contender out west and really making a name for himself. And I get it. I'd be frustrated, too.
It is interesting, though, because you and I have talked about it several times. I mean, pretty much anybody you ask is like, yeah, I would imagine they're gonna trade Trevor Story. They're gonna try to get something because he's not gonna be a Rocky next year. But what was the thought process? At least, what do you think the thought process was? I'm gonna ask you to do the impossible and try to get inside the brains of Rocky's brass. what was the thought process there? Is there some, I mean, I'm going to hate myself for asking this, but is there an inkling that they think they could maybe get him to stay long term?
I don't think that's very likely. There was some conversation about that, and Bill Schmidt said we'd really like to come to him with an offer, and we're going to talk to him in the offseason. And it's not an impossibility. I don't think that's really what they're banking on. I think what they're banking on, and a lot of people really roll their eyes at this, I don't think it's ludicrous. I wouldn't have done it, but I don't think it's ludicrous. If what happens at the end of the season, the Rockies slap a qualifying offer on Trevor Story. If he accepts it, they just automatically keep him for another year at right around like $18 or $19 million. And then they can decide to trade him in the offseason or next year, or maybe they're better and they build around him. Who knows? They worked on an extension. Again, very unlikely he takes that. Most guys of his caliber decline the qualifying offer. And when they do that, the team gets a compensatory draft pick that's sandwiched between the first and second round. So basically a late first-round draft pick. And the Rockies are assuming that whatever they're going to be able to get with that draft pick is going to be more valuable than what they would have been able to get at the trade deadline in return. And without knowing specifically what they were offered, it's hard to 100% say they wouldn't have, especially given that, again, Trevor has not been playing well this year and he's been injured. So I think a lot of Rockies fans assume he's Trevor freaking Story. You got to be able to get something great for that guy. But whoever's buying him, the Mets didn't buy Javier freaking Baez. They bought 2 months of whatever he's going to do now. Because they don't care about his resume. They don't care about what he does next year. Whoever was getting Trevor was getting 2 months of who he is right now. And who he is right now, unfortunately, I don't think was as enticing to as many teams as it could have been. Now, I have to imagine, Brady, there was an offer out there that I would have taken. Again, you asked me to put the hat on. So I imagine that there was an offer out there that I personally would have taken. That said, compensatory draft picks that the Rockies have taken over the years include Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackmon, and yes, Trevor Story. And so it's not like they're not getting anything. They get nothing. This draft pick, just recently they picked up Jaden Hill. That was their compensatory pick this year. A lot of people thought he could have gone 1-1, a college pitcher who only because of injury fell to them in the 30s, and so maybe in the 40s. And so I've also done a look at the history of teams that sell at the trade deadline and move the star player and get that package of prospects everyone can dream on for the future. Maybe 1 out of 10 times that package of prospects turns into something awesome.
Yeah.
And I know it's great to dream on and you want to improve the farm system, and they could have and they should have. But did the Rockies set themselves back a decade by not getting this massive haul? Go back and look at the hauls that Seattle got for Cliff Lee, or what Houston got for Roy Oswalt, or what the team that gets the star player always ends up on the better side of those deals. And you look back at those prospect names who were exciting at the time, and you go, oh, that guy never made it to the big leagues. That guy never made it to the big leagues. That guy was a journeyman. You know, so should they have played it better? Yes. But is it very possible that actually whatever they get for a compensatory pick in basically the second round next year will be better than, I don't know, a couple of C-level prospects that they would have gotten a couple of days ago? I think that's very possible. I don't think that's unreasonable anyway.
Drew Kreisman joining us, our Rockies insider from DNVR Rockies. All right, so on the other side of things, on the defensive side, pitching side, John Gray was the big name there. And that was the one I was really concerned. And I know I'm a fanboy of John Gray, but just trying to be analytical here, we've talked about it and said, hey, pitching is where you got to build. You got to build around the pitching. Trevor Story's nice. Nolan Arenado, I get it, one of the best third basemen of all time. But if you don't got the pitching, you're not going to do anything. And we talked about continuing to build around Gray. What does the Gray situation look like? I mean, that seems like there's potential that a deal could get done and he could remain a Rocky.
Yeah, and that looks like the most likely outcome to me. That was kind of the other really funny thing. These two things were happening at the same time. People were insisting on this narrative that Trevor Story proves that nobody wants to be a Colorado Rocky. But we're getting all these quotes from John Gray about how, I just want to wear purple. I want to be here for my whole career. This is where I want to be. I want to be a Rocky. And then the Rockies coming out and say, we want John Gray. We want to build around this starting pitching. And I think that was actually the other bigger storyline. And a lot of people are against this, and I totally understand why. People have been saying, what is the Rockies' plan? They have no plan. I think their plan more clearly emerged over all of this. And they basically said, we're building around these starters. We're not going to plan to be bad for the next couple of years and just tank everybody out. So we're going to build around these starters. We're going to sign free agent bats in the offseason because we believe that we can improve our offense. and we already have great starting pitching. Bullpens, you know, volatile things in sports, and the bullpen has to be dramatically better, but you don't necessarily have to spend a ton of resources to make your bullpen better. So, while the Rockies feel like they're forever away from contending, I actually agree with their assessment that with this starting pitching group, they're not. They need some bats, and they need some creative solutions in the bullpen, but with this group of starters, with Gray, Marquez, Freeland, Gomber, Senzatella, right behind them with Peter Lambert, Ryan Rollison, and Helkris Olivares, like, they've got top-end talent, they've got depth, they've got guys who are used to it. We were talking about this on the podcast the other day, Brady. The Rockies have never, in their entire history, had a group of veteran pitchers who all have experience at Coors Field.
Wow.
I mean, never.
And that's something to think about.
Because
what I think is interesting, Drew, about this whole thing, and I know it's been frustrating, the Nolan thing, the Trevor thing, but it's like, you've kind of tried that, and you put a lot of money into those areas, and it didn't really work. As you just said, you've never had this many collective pitchers, starting pitchers that are pretty damn solid. You've never had that, and Freeland got off to a slow start because of the injury. So you've never had that before. And I like the old saying, you know, if this doesn't work, we'll go back to what wasn't working before.
Exactly right. But I'd love to see them double down on this whole thing, really go hard in on the pitching. Yeah, bring in some bats, but I do believe if they spend creatively in this offseason, they can get right back to being a decent team, because it really does. Look at what they've done this year. Look at how terrible they feel like they should be but aren't. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does actually make sense.
Yeah, and it's because of the starting pitching. How many games have they been in? Even a lot of these games they lost. Look at that last California trip. They could very easily have swept the Dodgers in L.A. Now, they dropped 2 of 3. They won one in big fashion there late. But that's, again, how far away are you really? Well, when you have starting pitching of this caliber, you're not as far away as it feels. You have to plug all of those other holes. You can't have great starting pitching and one of the worst bullpens ever and one of the worst offenses that your franchise has ever put out there. That's who the Rockies are this year. But if you make a – in fact, I've seen them. The Colorado Rockies with great pitching and a mediocre offense and bullpen can get to the postseason. You know how I know that for sure? They did it in 2017 and 2018. I watched them.
Yeah. Well, it's I tell you, and this season too, Drew, and I know we're not dreaming big or anything, but these next few games, homestand here, you're, 14 games under 500? I'm just looking at 65. That's all I'm looking at. The over and under, I've been thinking about all year because, you know, so many people are, oh, there's no way they'll even get close to 65. Sitting at 46, you got plenty of games to go, and you got a nice little homestand against teams that maybe you match up well against in Chicago and Miami.
I know some people are rooting for the higher draft pick, but, you know, for people who just like winning baseball games, one of the reasons I was adamant that the Rockies wouldn't lose 100 this year was, one, the starting pitching that we just talked about, and two, the probability that they weren't going to go all out, sell, tear down, rebuild the way some of these other teams do, because they've never done that. And there's mixed science about how successful that really can be. Worked for the Astros and Cubs, not so much for the Pirates and Mariners. But, you know, the fact that I was like, they're not just going to get rid of everybody, and other teams are. So you got the Cubs, whatever's left of them coming to town. You got the Nationals. No idea who plays on that team anymore. Like, and you know, so if you like to win games, the Rockies have some very winnable ones. And they've also been an improving team because of so much youth. Well, some of these guys are like 27 years old, but they've never played Major League Baseball before. So, you know, of course they were going to have their biggest ups and downs, and mostly the downs at the beginning of the season when they're still acclimating to the level. But yeah, I think they're in for a strong finish. I picked them 70 wins at the beginning of the year, and I'm feeling better and better about that every day, honestly.
Yeah, well, especially the last three out of six or whatever road game. They're winning some road games now. So,
four road wins on the last road trip, man.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a victory. It feels like a World Series at this point, man, with everything
right
that's happened. Drew, appreciate you as always, man. What are you working on for us that we can check out at DNVR Rockies?
Yeah, just published, actually, right before coming on here, a big thing about Raimel Tapia, surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is here, I feel like I've written 25 articles over the years and done so many podcasts about his bat and why it's a little different than people realize. But this year he's been extraordinary defensively and on the bases. And I lay it all out there. He's basically gone from a guy who was a net in those particular spots to a guy who's a major asset. And that's a big development for him. So that's the big one up right now.
He took a gigantic leap, no doubt about it. Drew, appreciate you as always, man. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies, our Rockies insider. Looks like Melo is going to the Lakers. So, man, we're getting them all together. Melo, Westbrook, LeBron. I mean, just bringing old Lakers over left and right, or old guys over left and right to be on the Lakers team. I'll read some text when we come back. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, I'll get to a couple of texts here. Welcome back. It's Top Text Tuesday. I got two guys that could win the entire thing. I got to, you guys are cracking me up today. Top Text Tuesday, presented by FreshCo Painters South Platte. If you're new to the station, new to the show, text KFKA to 970-478-1301. That would be kind of cool, actually. He said, Chris, do you need security to help you to your vehicle? He's probably standing out there, huh? All right, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back a little bit. Weld County Swami, who could win the Floyd Little jersey. He's got two. This part of the year drives me crazy. Football is so close. It feels like the last class of the day, and the annoying kid, the Rockies, won't stop talking, so the teacher's keeping us longer. Give me football. That's pretty good. I like that. I can go with that. That's nice. Susan, Cheryl, Drew. All right. That's pretty good. That's got to be in the running, Colfax. Let's get to Dixon's text about the Rockies. If they need to sign some bats, why not just put everything into signing Story? I mean, he would probably be one of the best bats out there. So treat him like a prize free agent, sign him. Plus, he plays great defense. They won't, because they won't spend that kind of money. Yeah, I don't think he wants to be a Rocky. I think Drew's right. He's not disrespectful. He's not going to bash the organization. He doesn't want to be there, though. So is there any amount of money that would change that? I suppose, but he hasn't had the greatest season in the world. Drew pointed that out to us. I'm with you, though. I would treat it like that. I would like to see the Rockies go at it for him rather than try to accrue four or five, keep him in the lineup. B-Rad texting in, compensatory picks for the Rockies are worthless. They'll spend all the time in the world training them up just to get rid of them to avoid paying them. That's your reputation right now if you're the Rockies. It's true. The only money the Rockies throw down is for other teams to take our players that we groomed. I mean, that's, you can defend it all day. And I had my, I had my issues on the whole Nolan Arenado thing, on Nolan's side as well. But at the end of the day, this is your reputation. You are essentially what, the moves that you make and do are essentially what you are as an organization. And you proved yet again with the whole Trevor Story deal that you just don't really seem to grasp what's going on. And I know there's more to it and yada, 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 but you're not trying to please the fans at all. There's never a move that pleases the fans with the Rockies, not even one. Hell, the Broncos once in a while throw the fans a bone and do something that they like, even though maybe it doesn't make sense with what they're going for. 48 minutes after the hour, we got a crown of Top Text Tuesday winner. When we come back, if you can still get your text in during the commercial break, if they're spot on, maybe they win this thing. But we've got to come up with a winner coming up next, 49 minutes after the hour. You are listening to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
NoCo Now keeps you up to speed on what's happening on a local level. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
That's the theme song for the Hooligans there, of course. Brady FM radio is supposed to have better sound quality, but the Hooligans text still sound as crappy as always. Yeah. Nah, it's not bad. We do have a winner. We got this text from the 970. We need high school sports back. Well, I think we're getting ready to get that back, so... I mean, we're ready to go. That's why you keep it here on Preps Radio. 13 days, 13 teams starts up Monday, right? High school football training camp coverage. All right. The winner today. It's the Weld County Swan. Wow. That is 1, 2, 3 for Mr. Weld County Swami. He is getting the Floyd Little signed jersey. It's over. New prize starts next week, but he's got it thanks to Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. Appreciate all of their work and coming up with these prizes. This one lasted a while. You guys were duking it out for a little bit there. But now it's all over with and said and done. And Weld County Swami, he gets one. He gets the signed Floyd Little jersey, again, courtesy of Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. That's going to do it for us. We're back at it on a Wednesday. I'm excited for Wednesday show. I'm out Thursday. Tanner's going to step in for a few minutes, and then we'll have the Rockies game. But I'm going to be out at CSU's very first practice to give you some updates. And then I think the next day, next week, I'll be at UNC's. I don't think media is allowed this weekend. So I'll try to get you some updates from everything as much as I possibly can. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.